Well, good morning. Let's turn together to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, chapter 50. Together, we're going to be turning in our Bibles a couple of times. And I want to preach this morning on the bone ministry. It's not every day that it seems like we get invited to preach on the bone ministry, because it just sounds kind of strange and kind of funny. I noticed last week that Brother Brandon is preaching through the book of Exodus for a little while, and I always like to be able to come behind and support where he's preaching and what he's doing, and try not to get ahead of him either, because I don't know what he's preaching and he doesn't know what I'm preaching. I did want to cover a little bit of background about the Exodus and what's going on in the Exodus, and the importance of it, as we all know how important it was and how it's been going to be referenced from the time of the Exodus all the way through the Bible. The Exodus is a main part of Jewish and Christian knowledge and experience. But it's not always the beauty of it. It's not always what is leading out in front. In fact, most of ministry today, most Christian ministry today, could be equated with this bone ministry that we're going to be looking at this morning. So in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter in the book of Genesis, now I can see. The Bible says this in chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 25. There it is. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And right there is where Joseph stayed for about 400 years. Joseph stayed in that box. Chances are pretty good that because of the honor, because of the high ranking that he had, and how he saved Egypt and made them the powerhouse that they were through God's blessings, he possibly could have been mummified and buried in one of Pharaoh's different rooms, and maybe even in one of the old pyramids or something. We're not really sure, but all we know is that Joseph made the children of Israel promise that when God takes you out of Egypt, then I want you to take my bones with you, because this is not my home. So then we go forward just a few pages in your Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And in Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 17, the Bible says, now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God didn't lead them by the way of the land of Philistines, even though it was near, for God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up to in martial array, or in other words, as soldiers, from the land of Egypt. And in verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we thank you for the reminder of the prophecy that Joseph made and the promises that he believed in you by faith. We also thank you, Lord, for the remembrance of what he spoke about 400 years later, whenever the children of Israel left and were freed by your mighty hand, and they remembered this promise and this prophecy. We ask you, Lord, that you would remind us of this ministry as we attempt to continually serve you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this prophecy, the first thing that we're going to look at is the fact that this prophecy was revealed. There was a prophecy that was revealed. And this was the prophecy by Joseph that he said, "The Lord is surely going to take you out of here." Now, this was not necessarily Joseph's prophecy, because this was spoken to Abraham by God, that the children of Israel were going to end up in another land, and they're going to suffer there, then they're going to be brought back out. And then they're going to be in the land of Canaan, and they're going to take that land over. And so this was not something new that Joseph said, but this was at the height, at the pinnacle of Jacob's family, of Joseph's family, as he brought all 70 of his family members into Egypt. And you would think that they were there and they were set. They were there possibly to stay. Why are they leaving the promised land? Why is this famine causing them to leave? And even though Joseph has taken care of them, is this what God wants for us? Well, Joseph said, no, don't ever forget that we are leaving. And when we leave, I want you to take my bones with me, because this is not my resting place. I have a home that I want you to bury me in. And so this was a prophecy that was revealed to the children of Israel, and it was remembered 400 years later. But it had to be 400 years, about 400 years later, that it came to pass. Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, that by faith, Joseph, whenever he was dying, mentioned the exodus of the children of Israel and made them promise, made them make a promise about his bones, or charged them about his bones. And so even in the book of Hebrews, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Hebrews, we have this mention of the bone ministry. Carrying these old bones from the time of the Exodus and through the 40 years of wandering into the promised land. And so the first point that we see is that there was a prophecy that was revealed. I want to be buried in my homeland, and I'm making this promise by faith because I know the Lord is going to do it. The second thing that we see is found in the book of Exodus here that we just read, is that there was a promise that was remembered. Again, this was from the time that the children of Israel went into Egypt. It was about 430 years later, the Bible says, that Moses took them out in the Exodus. And so for roughly 400 years, we don't know, I'm not really sure how long Joseph was alive after his family came, but he died at the age of 110. So it was roughly around 400 years later that this promise was remembered. Now, this promise had to be passed down from generation to generation for 400 years, longer than this country has been in existence. And as the children of Israel probably were treated worse and worse by the different pharaohs, and then finally there was a pharaoh who didn't know and didn't care anything about who Joseph was and what Joseph had done, and had no respect for the children of Israel, and so he put them into slavery, this promise probably became more and more important to them, because at that time they didn't have Moses' writings. Moses hadn't been born yet. They had an oral remembrance. And this was one of the things that they remembered, the fact that Joseph made them swear. They promised that when they left, they would take his bones. And so this was a great encouragement to the people whenever they went to wherever his resting place was, and they dug up his sarcophagus or whatever he was buried in, whatever box it was a box for sure. And then they started to carry his bones out. This was a great encouragement to the people, because this is something he made them promise. And now they are fulfilling this promise. What excitement there was in this bone ministry. But then, after the excitement kind of wanes down, sometimes we kind of feel stuck in the ministry that we're in. Sometimes it just seems to drag on and on and on. Because first we see that the prophecy was revealed. Next, the promise was remembered. But the third part that we want to look at, and really in the meat of the message, is the fact that this privilege ended up being kind of repulsive. I mean, you look around in all the things that other people might be doing in their ministry, and you think, wow, my ministry is getting to carry a dead body through the desert. Wow. Who would sign up for that? I'm not so sure I would. The only way I would sign up for something like that is if everybody else was smart enough to take a step back and I was dumb enough to stand there and I'd just kind of get voluntold to do it. But it might have been a little bit of an honor at the time. But then you got to remember, too, that once they went into the desert and they went to Mount Sinai and they received the law, they found out that if you came in contact with a dead body, you were unclean. And so now here is whatever family it was, whatever group of people it was that was in the midst of this bone box now is dirty. Now is considered to be unclean. And I want to ask you, in these passages that we see here in the book of Exodus, who carried the bones out? You can look all you want to, but I'm here to tell you, we don't know. We don't know their name. We don't know their family's name. We're not really sure how they did it, except that we know that he was probably in some kind of box. And they just kept on carrying those bones. All of the other things that were carried after the Lord told Moses how to carry and how to make all of the things of the tabernacle were wood, but they were covered with gold. They were ornate. God gave special wisdom and special knowledge and instruction in being able to hammer out and mold all these intricate patterns with the Ark of the Covenant and with the lampstand and with the table of showbread, and all these other things were either shiny, large pieces of bronze or of gold. And yet here is these unknown, unnamed people carrying a box of bones. You know, it's easy for us to look around and see these people who might get the showy things in life. They get the ministries that it seems like everybody seems to be able to pay attention to, or maybe more people give them more credit for it. And I could imagine that all the pageantry of every time that they took up the tabernacle, they carried all these things. Now, the Ark of the Covenant had to be covered up, but they knew what it was. It was the centerpiece. And everybody got to carry all these ornate, beautiful things. And here are these people who were stuck carrying bones. You got to wonder if some of them might have said, you know, what am I doing stuck in this ministry? What am I doing here? You ever ask yourself that? How did I get to this point in my ministry or in my life? Why am I stuck carrying a box of bones? But the simple fact of the matter is, about 99% of Christian ministry is just like this. It is people who are unseen, people who are unknown. And let me tell you a secret, I'm sure you know it, but Christian ministry is usually unclean. It can be dirty. If you're going to minister to the neighborhood that God has put you in, it doesn't matter what neighborhood it is, when we deal with lost people, we're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to get our hearts broken. We're going to get tired. We're going to wonder, how long is this bone ministry going to continue? Because I don't see any point in why I'm dragging this stuff through the desert with no known place that I'm going to end. When is this ministry going to end? Everybody else is looking at all of the ornate things that's going on that somebody else is doing, and I'm back here in the back carrying bones that are 400 years old. Sometimes the privilege of working in the ministry can seem to be repulsive. You had two boxes that were in the desert. One box was holy. Another box was unclean. You had the Ark of the Covenant that was carrying the Shekinah glory of the living God. And then you had another group of people that were unknown, unseen, unclean, who were carrying the dead bones of someone that was basically long forgotten. When we enter into the bone ministry, we don't always expect what it's going to be like, but often it seems at some points in our life to be a repulsive privilege, carrying these dead bones around with no knowledge of when it's going to end. But I want you to turn with me to another part in the Bible, and that's the book of Joshua, the last chapter of Joshua. You see, because the bone ministry just continued and continued. And in the very last chapter of Joshua, you have something that to me has always been surprising. So you had the ministry of Moses that lasted for 40 years, and he died and the Lord buried him. You have the ministry of Aaron. You have the ministry of Caleb. You have the ministry of Joshua. All of these men died, and all of these men were buried, and yet you still have Joseph and whoever was carrying Joseph in this box of 400-year-old and now almost 500-year-old bones, and they still hadn't finished their ministry. They still hadn't buried Joseph. You know, sometimes it seems like we are just spinning our wheels. I don't know why I'm doing this ministry. I'm not really sure why I'm going through this. It doesn't seem to ever end. There is no end in sight. Everybody else's ministry is coming to an end, or we're getting something out of it, and yet here I am still carrying these dead, dry bones. Moses is gone. Aaron is gone. Caleb is gone. Joshua is gone, but here I am, still carrying the bones. Now, this was a ministry that was passed down through multiple generations, I'm sure, because everybody except for Caleb and Joshua died in the desert. And so the people who carry the bones out passed it on to the next generation. And it can often be kind of like a church. We have generational churches all over our land where most of the time, most of the people in the church are the children or the grandchildren of those who were in the church before. There's a few families that might come and go, but for the most part, it's a church that is generational in most of the churches. And it's easy for us to get bogged down in wondering, what is the point of our ministry? What is the point of us being here? I'm sure that the people who were carrying these bones that probably their grandparents started carrying were asking themselves after they crossed the river, when am I going to get rid of this bone ministry? When is my ministry going to be fulfilled? When am I going to see any fruit out of this? I'm carrying a box of bones around. But their perseverance is rewarded here. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, the Bible says, "Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons." So Joseph, even though he had been dead for so long, he was the last one to be buried in this whole entire story. And yet, we don't know who carried his bones. We don't know who buried him. We don't know what family it is. Everything that happened was behind the scenes. But I know one person who knows exactly who it is, but it's not a person. It is God himself. God knows every person that took care of that bone ministry. God knows every person who was unseen to you and me, unknown to you and me, unclean to those who are following the law, and yet their perseverance is rewarded because 80 years later this promise and this prophecy was now fulfilled. Joseph finally gets his resting place of the body that he used on this earth, and it gets to be put exactly where God wanted it, where his grandfather had purchased the land for him to be buried in. You know, it sometimes doesn't seem like the ministry that we're in is doing much good. Sometimes it doesn't seem like the ministry that we're in has much fruit. How much fruit do you think we're going to get out of a bag of bones? There's not a whole lot that's going to come out of that now, is there? A box of bones that we're carrying around for 80 years, and it doesn't seem like a whole lot is going to be done with that. But with God, all things are possible, ladies and gentlemen. And it is not about whether or not we get esteem here when we're on earth. It is not about whether we get noticed because we're carrying the big ornate things. The whole point of what God wants us to do is just be faithful with what He has given us to do. That's the whole point. These people were faithful. And we may not know their names. We may not know their family. We may not know exactly even how they did it. But the fact is, we know they did it, and it was fulfilled. The prophecy and the promise was fulfilled by these individuals, and they are in paradise in heaven today with the rewards of being faithful to their ministry. And that's what God wants to do to you and to me, is to reward us in heaven for the bone ministry that you and I might be in. We are not going to get a whole lot of credit for it. We are not going to be remembered for very long outside of a small circle of family or friends. But I want you to know that there are books being written in heaven with your name on them, and God knows what you are doing. And He's going to reward you when the time is right. It may seem like a long time. It may seem like we're losing face. It may seem like we're carrying on and just spinning our wheels. But what these people were doing for 80 years, folks, was carrying a promise. They were carrying a promise that God is bringing about a new day. God took Ezekiel and He took him to the valley of the dry bones. And He said, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel's like, "Man, these are dead bones. God, only You know." And God said, "I do know, and I'm going to tell you they can live because I said so." And one of these days, this prophecy that was foretold, this promise that was followed through, these dead, dry bones of Joseph is going to hear those words from his Savior, "Come up here!" And they're going to get up, and they're going to go up to meet Him in the air along with all the saints that have not died yet. Joseph is going to be in that mix, just like all other Christians are going to be. He is a man of faith. He is in the hall of faith because of all the things that he did. God was most impressed because he looked forward and he gave orders concerning his bones. And there were people who followed through with that promise. And that's what God is wanting you and I to do too. These promises in the Bible were made a long time ago that those who give their life and their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be redeemed and there is going to be a better day coming. And it is our job now as Christians to share that love of Christ and share that redeeming value of the Lord Jesus, that He is going to save whomever He chooses to save, and whoever will come to Him and call out His name and cry out for mercy, God will give mercy. We're carrying a promise with us every single day. A promise that if we'll pick up and continue with this dry bone ministry, what it seems like on the outside is that we're not doing a whole lot of good. But even dry bones can live whenever God speaks to them. Even a dead neighborhood can live whenever God speaks to it. Even a ministry that seems to be going on for too long, and even a ministry that we all wonder, what are we getting out of it? If we are faithful, God will let us see the end of what a faithful ministry looks like. We are carrying on with the promise of a day that is coming. We are carrying on with the power of an eternal God who can make even dead, dry bones come to life. And we are showing the world the resurrection proof and power of God for countless generations to come. Nobody may ever know your name. Nobody may ever know your ministry. But 400 years later, people may know what you have done. There might be families and generations from this time all the way forward who benefit from what you do to somebody's great-great-grandfather or grandmother. We have no idea how God is going to work that out. So don't give up on the bone ministry. A promise that was started in Genesis, fulfilled in Joshua about 80 years later, talked about in Hebrews over 1,000 years later, and now being preached in the year 2022, that ministry is still going on, and your ministry can be as eternal as that too. Just don't give up on that bone ministry. It may seem hard, it may seem difficult, and it may seem like we're just going to keep on spinning our wheels, but we're not spinning our wheels when we're following what the Lord tells us to do. The first part of following what the Lord tells us to do is to make sure that we are in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you following Him, and are you faithful to Him in wanting to do what He wants you to do? And it might be unseen. It might be unheard. Most ministries are. But are you being faithful to what God wants you to be doing? And if you can say yes to that, then congratulations. You're along with these unknown, unseen, unheard people that were in the bone ministry way back in the book of Exodus. No one knows who they are except for God, but He's all that matters. No one knows who I am except for God, but He's all that matters. No one may know who you are except for God, but He is all that matters. And your name is being written in heaven of the ministry that you are partaking in and the ministry that you are completing. And we have no idea how many generations that's going to affect. But if we give up, it'll affect none. Don't give up on the ministry God has given you. Be like these unknown people that continuously, through all the war, through all the turmoil, through the ground opening up and swallowing a whole bunch of leaders at one time, continued in their ministry until their job was fulfilled 80 years later when Joseph's bones were finally laid to rest and their ministry came to an end. But generation after generation have been blessed by these individuals, and the same is going to happen to us if we will keep the faith. Keep the faith in what God wants you to do. Let's all stand together for a word of prayer. Father, right now you're speaking to hearts, and you're asking and speaking to hearts that might be wondering, what am I continuing to do in my ministry? What is the point and what is the end of my ministry? But Lord, there are so many countless ministries that we know nothing about. We just get the fingertip of what you are doing in the Bible and the most important parts, but there are so many other pieces to be put together. We may never be a David or an Abraham or a Peter or a Timothy, but most of our ministry is going to be unseen and unknown and unheard, but you are going to reward it. And we thank you for that. We have faith in that. And we ask you, Lord, to honor the faith that we have and the promises that you have made us. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to all of our hearts, that you will continue to embolden us to the ministry that you have called us to and the things that you want us to do in our small little corner of the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.